Get ready to get blitzed on the Blitz podcast at thehuddle.com with your hosts Steve Gallo and Harley Schultz.
Welcome back for another episode of the Blitz Podcast. I'm your host, Steve Gallo, joined by my trusty sidekick, Harley Schultz. Harley, I just did a countdown from 9 to 1 because we're in week 9. I can't believe it. We are actually now past the halfway point of the new 17-game season.
Yeah, it's still kind of like having a hard time wrapping my head around the 17 games versus 16 games, but it is week 9. And like you said, that is definitely past the halfway mark, both figuratively and literally. So we have to look at it this way. It's like, you know what? The season is on its downswing.
Yeah, I mean, and as we record on Monday night, currently the Kansas City Chiefs are, what, 3-4?
Don't remind me.
Yeah, I know. Well, I'm going to say something. My wife's over my shoulder here. She's probably not going to be very happy. And the Cleveland Browns are 4-4, right? There's some teams that are kind of not performing to what we expected them to perform to, but because so many of them are doing that, that kind of leaves the field open a little bit, doesn't it?
It really does, and there's quite a few teams that are underperforming at times. We saw the Arizona Cardinals, who had the top seed in the NFC, on Thursday night lose to a Green Bay Packers team that was devoid of their entire wide receiver room.
Yeah,
and then you saw a team like the New York Jets, who are starting something called Mike White, and we end up with them beating handily the top seed going in from the AFC, the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah, I was going to say there's been some teams that have been underperforming, but also some that have been overperforming. And I'm sorry, I apologize to Bengals fans in advance. They're just a team that I said it last week, I think. I just have a hard time buying it. They're real. The Las Vegas Raiders, same difference, right? And then you see teams like Kansas City and Cleveland, who you expected to do much better, struggling right now. So I think it's going to be an interesting second half. And I do think that the cream will rise to the top. It's a long play. And I believe that some of these teams that have the depth to get through it will help them. I'm sure that there are some bits in the news that you'll probably touch on. I could be wrong, but I think that they'll probably be there. So I'm just not going to wait any longer. I'm going to throw it over to Harley for this week's Blitzed Podcast News.
Thank you, Steve. Monday morning, Denver traded veteran linebacker Von Miller to the Los Angeles Rams. Of course they did, because the Rams needed more studs on their defense. I really love how the Rams are playing to win every year, while other teams actively stockpile dozens of seventh-round draft picks. I mean, it's as if the Rams are playing fantasy football, but in real life, and the rest of the league, well, you've got a bunch of teams that are basically your perennial also-rans. Jameis Winston will miss the rest of the season with a torn ACL. But the team is very fortunate that they have Taysom Hill scheduled to return in Week 9. So consider this your one-week warning to sell Alvin Kamara before Hill steals all of his touchdowns. Carolina Panthers quarterback Sam Darnold is in the concussion protocol following a head injury sustained Sunday. This injury allowed Darnold to feel the pain that his fantasy owners have suffered the last 4 weeks while slamming their heads into their coffee tables while watching him play football. In related news, Christian McCaffrey is scheduled to return to practice this coming Wednesday. Apparently, McCaffrey was waiting for Darnold to no longer be under center before returning to the active roster. And finally, if you had Derrick Henry as your running back one, I feel sorry for your loss. Well, actually I don't, especially if I haven't faced you yet this season. This has been your BPN News Update.
Man, isn't that the truth? All those Henry owners now are going to feel the way that everybody else feels, basically. Right?
Well, again, basically, they got a stiff arm from Henry to the face this week. That's the amount of pain that they're feeling right now.
That is a good analogy. Listen, you also mentioned Christian McCaffrey. So let me plug our segments that we're going to do. We are going to do, of course, our normal daily DFS, weekly DFS segment with pay up, stay away, and value plays. But we're also going to do a playoff posturing segment. And by that, what I mean is, and we've talked about this in the past, you have to, the hardest thing to do in life is probably assess where you are with certain things, right? Without bias, because it impacts you. It's always easier to give advice than get it, isn't it?
Exactly.
So with this, you have to be able to look at your team or teams and really be honest to yourself and say, am I a buyer or am I a seller? And am I cruising to the playoffs or do I need to grind to get to the playoffs? So what we're going to do is we're going to do a segment called Playoff Posturing, and we're going to talk about a couple of running backs, a few wide receivers, and a tight end that if you own them, your outlook should be different based on whether you're a cruise to the playoffs or if you're grinding to try and get there. Sound good?
Sounds good.
Do you want to start there or do you want to start with DFS this week?
Let's start with the conversation there that you brought up about the playoffs. So, okay. Yeah, it's playoff season in roughly 4 weeks for most leagues, 4 or 5 weeks, depending on how your league is set up, with the extra added week to the season in the fantasy football world this year. But there's a lot of teams right now that when you look at where your place is in the standings, you might already be in a playoff situation where you need to win this week to keep yourself in contention. Now, that can really dramatically alter what you're going to do in the short term.
Yes.
In addition to what you're going to do in the long term.
So short term and long term, there are two running backs, and unfortunately I'm invested heavily in both and actually have a league where I am invested in both. But I think they're a good duo to look at. Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley. We already know that McCaffrey's heading back to practice. If you own him and you are grinding to get to the playoffs, do you trust starting him? Or do you deal him to somebody else? Maybe they're in a better position and they're cruising to the playoffs, right? And they have some depth that they can offer you because you need to get a win now, right?
So, if you did draft Christian McCaffrey, like I have to admit, I have him on a lot of my teams this year, both in redraft and in dynasty. But if you have him, then the depth on your team was probably already challenged a little bit because in a draft format, if you took Christian McCaffrey with one of the top two or three picks in your draft, that means you ended up either having to get really, really lucky in the second and third round with who fell to you, or he's basically one of the main pivot points of your roster, one of the linchpins, if you will. So
yeah, or you pick up an Elijah Mitchell or a Khalil Herbert or something like that, possibly, right? In waivers.
Exactly. If you got lucky.
So here's the thing. And I guess that's what I'm saying. If you own Christian McCaffrey and you know that you look like you're still going to make it to the playoffs rather easily because you worked the wire well, right? Or you drafted and hit a couple of, silver dollars in the draft later, I think you sit on McCaffrey. There's no reason to trade him. He can only help make your team that much stronger. However, you drafted him and you've been grinding and you know that you really can't afford a loss this week or next week or the week after. McCaffrey, even though the production has been there due to injury, still has name recognition that you should be able to flip him for a couple of running backs, maybe of lesser ability or perceived ability, or a running back and wide receiver or wide receiver tight end, depending on where your needs are. And I think you have to do that. I think you have to, at this point, you have to cut bait with a player like McCaffrey or Barkley if you need a win this week.
Well, and I think that it's going to be easier to pull off a trade like that this week. Even last week wouldn't have been as bad, but it was really, really hard to do that if you were in need of a victory back in week 7, just because of the sheer number of players that were on bye.
Yep.
Teams are basically using every single roster spot they had on their available rosters to field an active team. Now that the bipocalypse has passed and, we're back into more like regular scheduled weekends off for teams. There's only like one or two teams on bye going forward most weeks. I think it's much, much easier to pull off one of those deals now. And again, these teams that have already secured their place in the playoffs, they're always, there's always going to be someone willing to buy a guy like McCaffrey or yep. buy a guy, any top tier player, Devontae Adams, a Tyreek Hill. If someone is willing to offer them to them, they're always willing to buy them. And what you'll find is that these teams will oftentimes give more than is necessary to get those players.
Yep. And honestly, you should be targeting the better teams, the teams that have the depth that you need. And the selling point is, look, I know I've got a long shot to make the playoffs, so that's why I want to make this deal. And you know, if I make it, fine. Maybe I see you in the playoffs. If I don't, you're probably still going to make the playoffs. And imagine if you get into the playoffs and now have Christian McCaffrey, and he's healthy, and he's playing. It's one of those win-win. It's a risk. It's a risk-initiated type trade that can work for both people. And I think that's how you have to attack it with a running back like CMC and Barkley.
Well, in addition to those two, I think you can kind of put David Montgomery in that range too right now.
Yeah, you exactly. You probably could. But he's got a little more risk right now. You've got a few hours that you can try and hopefully trade him before the trade deadline and use that as a pitch, right?
Exactly.
But Khalil Herbert has shown to be rather adept at, you know, his replacing him. So there may be some worry that maybe he doesn't come back to the same load or something, and it takes a little longer for that to happen. But
still, well, you could say the same thing about Chuba Hubbard in Carolina. I mean, he certainly hasn't been Christian McCaffrey, but he's been a solid fill-in for Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, but there's also that small difference between a McCaffrey.
Well, there's some name swag with McCaffrey.
Yes. And I was going to say, and it doesn't mean that it holds up when you look at any kind of data, but it's something that we have in our heads. And you just don't expect somebody to hold a person like McCaffrey, Tyreek Hill, your top players out of a lineup, no matter how well they've played, right?
Well, I guess for a fun little experiment here, what would be the bare minimum that you, as a team that needs to win now, would need to sell McCaffrey?
So, see, that's the hard thing to tell you because it's different for every team based on your needs. You know, what am I starting at wide receiver 2 and 3 possibly? I may have a solid wide receiver 1, but my hole has been 2 and 3, and I was able to cover McCaffrey through the wire with Elijah Mitchell and Khalil Herbert. So I don't need CMC possibly as a running back. I need him to help my wide receiver or tight end position. So I just, to me, it just really, it's really a one-off situation. If you have him and you're selling him, you have to really truly look at not what's making your team better for the long run as much as what's making your team better for this week and maybe next week to start with, because it's a grind, right? And you can't get to the playoffs if you don't get through this week. So I'm more focused on now, which means it's harder for me to say who I want this week versus who I want next week.
I guess I meant that more generalized per se, that would you need to get back a running back, roughly running back 12, 13, and a wide receiver in the 20 range? Or?
Again, I don't want to be too general, but I have to be because I'm looking at it from both ends. Like, I know people say, you just start the guy that's going to get you the most points and don't worry about your opponent. No, I'm sorry. I'm also going to worry about my opponent. I want to see who I'm facing and how hit or miss they've been. And do I need safe, solid points, or do I need bigger boom points type thing? I would try to get a lower running back 1, higher running back 2, and a wide receiver 2 that's got some upside to wide receiver 1 for a guy like CMC. But that doesn't mean that's what I would take. I may take less if it's going to work for me.
Exactly. Again, it's all about knowing your situation. And again, like you said, you have to know what's in play just in this week and next week. Maybe if you're in that range where maybe you have like 3 wins or just 4 wins, or you're in a division maybe where you might have 3 or 4 wins, but the top team in your division has 6 or 7 wins right now.
Yep.
And you really need, I mean, this is the start of your playoffs. This is your must win.
Exactly.
First week of the playoffs.
I think it's almost kind of like saying, like how we talk about football players needing to have situational awareness, where Michael Carter this weekend, luckily his miss, he had a partial situational awareness. I don't know if you saw the play, but it was second down maybe. And he was heading out of bounds, and you could see the coaches and everybody, like it was like one of those slow motion things where you could see everybody saying, get down, stay in. And he went down a yard short of the marker when he could have easily gotten the first down and still stayed in bounds. So he kind of had partial situational awareness, right? You've got to be completely aware of your entire situation, and that's how you're going to make those decisions. It's hard to just lump it together and say, this is what I would do.
Okay, well, we talked about a couple running backs there with Saquon and and Christian and Montgomery. How about other positions?
Sure. So let's talk wide receiver. I've got three guys here that are all kind of slightly different situations. Davante Adams, clearly one of the top dogs at the wide receiver position, but he's out with COVID right now. And you don't know how long he's going to be out. Is he expected to come back? Does he have a setback? Will it impact him? Again, we're talking about you need a win this week, next week, et cetera, right?
Yeah, and it's interesting with Davante. So when he came down with he actually tested positive for COVID. And he wasn't one of those guys who was in the room with someone or something like that. Allen Lazard, I don't know if Lazard tested positive or not, or if he was just in the room with Davante, but Lazard was actually activated off the COVID list this morning, and he was back at practice.
Right.
Adams, however, did not come back yet to practice. So, again, I believe that Adams actually did have or does still have COVID, but Lazard does not.
And that's what's going to make him tough to rely on if you need that win this week, right? Because no, it does you no good if he can't play and you have that big hole in your lineup. And he is somebody that you know is likely going to be back in another week, even if, you know, he does come back. But you have to get that win. So you got real good name recognition, and you should get a top flight guy and a halfback, right? You should get a top flight wide receiver back. Maybe, you know, it's somebody that just hasn't quite performed exactly how somebody was hoping. They're like, hey, at least this is a small upgrade for me. And you could get that running back that you need, or maybe it's two running backs and you have enough wide receiver depth. I don't know. But I think Adams is one of those key guys that if you're grinding and you own him, you can sell him to help yourself in the short term easily without even hurting yourself in the long term, quite honestly, right? And if you
well, yeah, and I agree. And I think that there's something to think about, too, here. I mean, Davante Adams is an elite wide receiver, but a lot of us saw the Davante Adams from last season that was beyond an elite. Davante Adams last season was the Christian McCaffrey of wide receivers.
Yep.
He was beyond elite. He was the super elite, if you will, taking a page from the fine folks over at AEW. It's a situation where it's like he has not been quite that super elite this year. He's still been very, very good. Don't get me wrong. But I could see a team from a redraft standpoint, not a dynasty standpoint, correct, obviously.
Correct.
But I could see a team possibly part with a Deebo Samuel or a Jamar Chase or a CeeDee Lamb plus a piece to get the chance to move up. And realistically, I don't know if there's that dramatic of a drop-off between Adams and Samuel and Chase and Lamb at this point.
But he has that name swag.
Swag. We've coined a new phrase here, I think.
Yes, we did. And, you know, but the thing is, if you're in that role where you're 7-1 and you've got a healthy lead and you know you're making it to the playoffs and you think that he offers you that much of an upgrade, right, because of depth or whatever, why wouldn't you do that? You absolutely should do that. So that's one of those guys. Another guy, this one's a little more difficult, I think. And some guys had him, you may have been one of them, as their wide receiver one this year. Not a wide receiver one, but the wide receiver one. And that's Calvin Ridley. And with Calvin Ridley, it's more along the mental health lines. We're not sure if he's going to play football again.
Yeah, I still don't know if we really know exactly what the story is with him. Obviously, a couple of weeks ago, he didn't go with the team to London for their game there. And I think a lot of people were thinking, well, maybe it's a COVID-based issue where he wanted to not make it public what his standing was, but he knew he wouldn't be allowed into the country or had to have trouble getting back into the country. Right? It was just listed as personal issues. Unfortunately, it sounds like now it's much, much, much more and much deeper than that.
Yeah.
And again, I mean, obviously, one's personal mental health is so much more important in the long run than any professional sporting game.
Yep.
But again, I mean, as a person who has had a few shares of Calvin Ridley, but not an excessive amount this year, it's still very, very hard. When you're a fantasy owner and Derrick Henry or Christian McCaffrey or something like that suffers a horrible injury and you lose them because of that, it almost doesn't hurt as badly as a player just willfully stepping away from his team uninjured. But when you think about that, it's like you have to, as a fantasy owner, you have to take that into your mind and say, but no, he actually is injured.
Yep.
He's got a mental injury. And that's just as much an issue as a physical injury. Again, on paper or saying it out loud, it might not feel that way to you, but it is.
So here's where we are, though, trade-wise. When somebody has an ACL, an MCL, a twisted ankle, a high ankle sprain, et cetera, usually there's a medical diagnosis that lets you know they're out 2 weeks, 4 weeks, 6 weeks. And you have a rough idea. Everybody's different, but you have a rough idea what to expect, right?
Yes.
With Ridley's, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to hear that he's having the issue. But from a fantasy standpoint, if you have him rostered, the name recognition is going to be offset by the unknown of if or when he comes back, right? Even though the selling point is when he comes back, he should be physically in fantastic shape because it wasn't a physical injury, it was a mental injury. But because you don't know if he is going to come back or when, right? That's going to give you a hit. But if you own him and you're grinding, I don't see how you can't sell him, even if it is for what's considered pennies on the dollar, even if it was to get two wide receiver threes. This is a spot, though, where if you are at the top of the league and you're cruising to the playoffs, he's absolutely a fantastic stash if you can afford to give up those kind of players.
If you're like a secured playoff spot already, and you haven't made an offer to the Ridley owner already, you're doing it wrong.
Yep. Now, here's another guy.
I liken a little bit of it, though, in the case of Ridley.
Yeah.
A little bit of that is similar to people who have held on to Deshaun Watson through his prolonged battle with the Texans. Obviously, it's a completely different animal in terms of the reason why Deshaun Watson's not playing. But again, there's a huge, huge perceived value. And again, it's not injury related why he's not playing.
And he has handicapped some teams. I'm saying that because I know, because I picked him up late in drafts and being stubborn, refused to move him because I knew that this was what it could take. But guess what? I will be free of him if I need to be by tomorrow because the trade deadline will have come and gone. And if he hasn't been traded, then he's the easy, quick cut. Last wide receiver, slightly different scenario. Not as dominant as Davante Adams, although he has been. Doesn't have a mental health issue like Calvin Ridley. Is a true injury, I believe. But Antonio Brown, who was drafted late, who's been performing pretty well, if you own him and you still need a win, you can't be without that wide receiver most likely. So you do the same thing with Antonio Brown in my mind.
Well, I'm just trying to think off the top of my head. I believe, is this the week that Tampa's on bye?
Oh, you know, I have to double check. I believe so, but let me check that real quick, and I can tell you. We'll call some dead air here for a minute, and I'll go blah, blah, blah.
The reason I say this is because I remember reading someplace this morning, and again, I don't know if they're talking in regard to this week or not, but Bruce Arians coming out and saying that both Rob Gronkowski and Antonio Brown will be back following the bye. So that means neither of those two is playing this week.
Correct.
But it sounds like if force came to shove, either of them probably could. But he basically has made it abundantly clear that they will both be back after the bye. If this is the bye this week, then that means you weren't going to have them anyways. So
correct.
If you're looking, if you're needing to get into the playoffs, you'd be looking to trade both of them right now anyways. And in the case of Brown, I think there's a good argument for trading him anyways because of the fact that let's say he is fully healthy. Let's say he comes back in week 10. He's still one of three wide receivers in a very prolific offense.
Yep.
but he's still one of three options in addition to Gronkowski and Brate and the backs out of the backfield to catch the ball. Now, Tom Brady, as we saw last week, is not going to throw for five touchdowns every week. He probably will throw for three every week, but again, there's no guarantee that Antonio Brown will catch one of those three every week. So I think that he had such a solid start to the season that when teams read that he'll be back in week 10, I think he's actually going to be a pretty easy flip for you.
Yeah, well, here's the thing, too. If you're needing the win, right, and you're the grinder, okay, you're without Antonio Brown this week, and you need him. He's coming back from an injury, even though Arian says he should be good to go for week 10. I tend to be a little more hesitant putting those players back in the lineup week one back because you really aren't 100% sure what you're going to get with them, right? So
yes.
Now, if that's the case, I'm looking at if I'm the owner of Antonio Brown, that means I'm 2 weeks out. That means I'm 3 weeks before I can get a return from him. So, yeah, I'm absolutely going to try and move him, and hopefully it's to a person that has the depth. Maybe I can get a couple of different wide receivers. Don't hurt that guy's depth that much so that they can use him. And it's just they're the kind of win-win trades you have to look for to make things happen.
Well, and again, if you consider that your league probably will have playoffs in weeks 14, 15, and 16, he actually doesn't have a great schedule down in the playoffs. He's facing the Bills, the Saints, and the Panthers. Bills obviously have one extremely good cornerback and a second cornerback that's pretty good. The Saints, same situation. They have one extremely good cornerback. And you got the Panthers who have now traded for two or three different very good cornerbacks. So,
yeah. So, all right. Let's move to tight end. I had a couple guys that we could have talked about. And then I looked and I was like, nah, there really is just one. There really is. And that is George Kittle.
Well, I was hoping you were going to talk about my favorite tight end who's out right now, Logan Thomas. But yes, no, I'm cool with talking about George Kittle. Much the same as Antonio Brown, George Kittle is scheduled to come back. And in Kittle's defense, he's actually scheduled to come back this week, which is obviously going to be a boost for him. Now, for whatever reason, George Kittle has become a player that's kind of synonymous with missing time due to various injuries. And it's not because he's soft in any stretch of the imagination. It's more because he is a hard player.
Yeah.
When he's playing out there, if he's not involved in the particular route, he's getting down there and dirty in the trenches. His body takes a beating every single week because of how hard he plays. And so, yes, he's missed games pretty much every year of his career, but he's always finished his career as a top three tight end. Now, in the current day and age right now, there's a lot of question marks, even just going into this season, if he would remain a top three tight end. We've got three or four tight ends now behind him coming up that are increasing their profitability going forward, where they're almost feeling like they might pass George Kittle if they already haven't passed him.
Yeah, but you know what? Kittle's got that name swag too, right? And
yes.
If you're a grinder that needs a win, and you may go, hey, he's coming back. Again, I'm not a big fan of playing guys coming off of multi-weeks missed in their first week back. So he's somebody I easily look to try and flip based on. Look, he's been not just a good tight end when he's played, right? He's
yes.
been otherworldly at times. So, again, use that name swag. Try and help yourself so that you're positioned to look better for wins this week and next week and beyond. And, look, the tight end position is a crap show for the most part. I guarantee you you'll find one of those league leaders that probably doesn't own Travis Kelce or Darren Waller or TJ Hockenson and is looking to shore that position up.
Well, again, I like to look ahead to the schedule and see how that plays into things with him. Kittle's actually got a really, really gorgeous schedule. This week, he's got a little bit of a tougher matchup. If he comes back, it's going to be against the Cardinals, who, after being a tight end whipping boy for many, many years, have actually, over the last year and a half, I think they acquired Justin Simmons last year in the draft.
Isaiah Simmons.
Isaac Simmons, the hybrid safety/linebacker who's done a very, very good job of shutting down cornerbacks. But then following them, they face the Rams, and tight end is one position you can beat them with. Although I don't know if Von Miller will maybe do some of the coverage on tight ends there. But guys like the Jaguars coming up in Week 11, the Seahawks in Week 13, Bengals 14, Falcons 15, Titans 16. If your league plays into Week 17, the Houston Texans, who are the worst team in the league against tight ends right now, there is a lot of potential value for George Kittle to a team that wants to acquire him. Now, so if you're that team that needs to acquire, that's looking to acquire him, go for it.
But again, let's, because you just painted such a rosy picture. You're making that person that's grinding go, oh, I can't do without George Kittle. I love George Kittle. God, that schedule. Wake up, snap out of it. Okay, situational awareness. You need a win.
But what about George Kittle's smile, though? It's such a sweet smile.
And the hair, and the hair. I get it. It's tempting, but situational awareness says there's a risk that he plays limited snaps, his return game back, all the things that you can't have happen. Turn the name swag into profits for now, okay? And worry about later as you get the chance to worry about later.
But again, though, if you're going to deal him, and if you're looking to deal him, sell that schedule. Sell that schedule coming up here because it is a juicy, juicy sales point.
But don't sell yourself to not sell them because it's so juicy when you're selling it. But a trick could be, as you're trying to sell it and you're talking to the guy, say, you know what? The more I think about it, maybe I shouldn't even be talking to you. And then all of a sudden they might say, whoa, wait a minute. How about if I, right? So negotiate.
Negotiation's fun.
Yes, it is. Probably the most fun I have in fantasy football, quite honestly. So there you go. We gave you some targets both to sell and to buy depending on your situational awareness of are you grinding towards the playoffs or are you cruising there and you're just looking to stock the cabinet so that when you get there, you can unleash a bevy of hellfire on your opponents.
Again, though, it all comes down to you taking that moment and take that moment this week, even before the waiver wire comes up, because this is the week. This is the week that you need to identify where you what is your lot for this season from a fantasy football standpoint.
And we just had a Gore sighting, by the way, during the Monday Night Football game.
Well, it wasn't Frank Gore, though. It may have been his grandson, though. I'm not sure.
You know what? Frank's been in the league, been around the league so long that could be possible.
It's someone named Derek Gore. I have to go out to DraftKings and see how many people had him in their captain slot in the Showdown Millionaire tonight. I'm sure there are quite a few.
Well, he scored a touchdown, so that'll be a good thing for them.
Either him or Kyle Rudolph, who caught the earlier touchdown for the Giants. Both of those guys were in the like $400 range on the Showdown slate for captain slot. So I'm sure some people put him in there. I took a shot on Blake Bell today in my captain spot for one of them, and then another one I've got Byron Pringle. So,
well,
I'm kind of playing that same angle, but I know that some people probably took a shot on Rudolph or on Mr. Gore here, and they got paid off handsomely for it.
Well, Mr. Rudolph has one of my favorite lines of all time: one target, one catch, 1 yard, one touchdown.
I don't know. I really like the line that Joe Mixon started the game with yesterday. It's like 3 carries for -1 yards and a touchdown and 1 catch for 0 yards.
Yeah, that's
through his first 4 touches.
So there you go. That's our segment for this week. We are going to move into DFS now, and we're going to give you some pay-ups, stayaways, and value plays. For anybody that's new and tuning in, Harley and I do not discuss this in advance. With that said, Harley sets an over-under, and then I will decide if we're going to match it, beat it, etc. So go ahead, Harley. What's the over-under this week?
This week we are looking at 5.
Against my better judgment, I'm going to take the over. I have a feeling we push.
This feels like a push week again. On a weird Halloween weekend this past weekend where just crazy gadzooks things happened, I wouldn't be surprised if we push here on this number. Again, we won't be giving you Blake Bell or Byron Pringle or Derek Gore as recommendations, obviously, because they're playing tonight. But these are players that you can play in the millionaire slates on DraftKings and FanDuel this coming Sunday. So, again, all of our prices are based on DraftKings and FanDuel pricing. But we'll start off at the quarterback position with our pay-to-play. And my pay-to-play is going to be the top-priced quarterback on the board, Josh Allen, at 8,200 on DraftKings. He is $9,000 on FanDuel, which is a little bit high for my liking, particularly for a quarterback. But they're facing a defense that is very easy to run against. So now why are you saying, oh, why do I want to play the quarterback against a team that's easy to run against? Well, that's because Josh Allen is the best running back on Buffalo.
Yes, like a Clydesdale.
Well, when your competition for carries is Zach Moss and Devin Singletary, both of whom I really like, by the way, I'm going to get on a little soapbox for a second. I like both those guys, and I'm really frustrated that they don't get the touches that they probably deserve. Either one of those guys would be a better option for a team like Tennessee than going out and sending a retread like Adrian Peterson. But obviously, Josh Allen, he's the guy who calls his own number far too often. And against Jacksonville, he's going to get 70 to 80 yards on the ground on top of probably two or three touchdowns through the air. They don't have Dawson Knox right now, although it sounds like he may amazingly come back with his fractured hand to play in this game. I didn't think he had a chance to play for another couple weeks, but apparently he might. But if Knox is out again, that opens up some more red zone opportunities for Allen to steal the ball and steal the show for himself too.
Yeah, didn't he have a late touchdown that cost people on the Dolphins plus points a cover this weekend? I think I speak from experience on that.
Exactly.
So we have a match. I honestly did not want to pay up for Josh Allen, though, just because I don't like quarterbacks. No, his price is high. So I was like, well, okay, let's see. Can I pay up for somebody that I like and still save some money? And honestly, I went all the way down. I was like, well, how about Pat Mahomes? I don't actually love the matchup, even though it's in Kansas City. Won't fault you for paying up for Patty. Then I slid down. I was like, I really honestly like Joe Burrow at home this week. I think we see Cleveland actually go into Cincinnati and win, so I think there'll be some garbage time for Mr. Burrow. But I'm sorry, at $6,900, I'm sorry, $6,800 and $7,600, I just feel guilty saying that's a pay-up. So I landed back to Josh Allen as my pay-up also.
Yep. And again, there's some decent guys a few hundred dollars cheaper than Allen.
Yeah.
Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes in the game against each other. It could be a shootout. It could be a dud, too, for all we know.
I want to love Aaron Rodgers, but I don't know what he's going to have to throw to.
That's exactly why I didn't choose Aaron Rodgers. Again, it sounds like obviously like Lazard is back. But yeah, we're out there. And I mean, they're looking at a receiving core of Equanimeous St. Brown, Amari Rodgers, and Aaron Jones last week. Aaron Jones was basically one of their three starting wide receivers, along with those two and Randall Cobb.
Yeah, and don't let Randall Cobb fool you. He had like a Kyle Rudolph type line, right? Two catches, three catches, 8 yards, 12 yards, whatever it was, and two touchdowns.
Like exactly.
The touchdowns are going to skew people's thoughts of what and how he was involved. So, well, he's staying away from.
We have our first match ready, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, who are we going to stay away from? I think we might get a match here.
I thought about playing Kyler Murray because we don't know his injury status right now.
Yeah.
San Francisco isn't a great defense, but they're not a horrible defense. I decided instead to slide down a little bit on the pay scale. Again, same thing with Dak Prescott. I didn't want to take him because we don't know exactly what his injury status is. It sounds like he's probably going to play. Probably could have played on Sunday night if he had to. So I went even a little bit further down the list. I went with Jalen Hurts at 6,700 on DraftKings, 7,800 on FanDuel. That 7,800 on FanDuel just does not sound appealing to me. Only one team has allowed fewer passing touchdowns than the Chargers. Oh, yeah, and get this. Jalen Hurts managed to only net 103 scoreless passing yards and 71 scoreless rushing yards in a game where his team scored 44 freaking points. How the heck does that happen?
Well, I don't know exactly because they decided to take the game off the TV because it was such a blowout. Anyway, We match. I agree with you. Like I saw some guys, like I said, I could have said Rodgers because who's he going to have at wide receiver? Kyler Murray, I was like, the same thing for you. He's got the injury that he's dealing with. Dak Prescott, if I knew he was definitely playing, he probably would have been my stay away just because the Denver defense.
Denver defense is legit, yep.
But I don't think
even without Von Miller, they're still legit.
Yeah, but that's a hit for him, quite honestly. But still, because he's been out, with an injury too. So I landed on Hurts because, and this was the first week that Hurts has really laid a dud fantasy wise. But there's no sense.
Imagine though, you're a Jalen Hurts fantasy owner,
yeah,
and you fell asleep early on Sunday, took a little mid afternoon nap, and you woke up and you saw the score flash on the screen, 44 to 6 or something like that.
Yeah,
at the end,
44-6.
It's like yes. And then you look at the box score, and it's like
what?
Hurts like 7 points.
Yeah, you would honestly think that he had a 30 plus point game, and then when you looked and saw he only 7 points or whatever it was, you'd think, oh my god, did he get hurt? What happened?
Gardner Minshew's stats in there too. It's like, well, did he get benched at some point?
Right. Yes. So, yeah, wonderful. Okay, 2 for 2. Let's make it 3 for 3.
Well, I have a feeling that your wife will approve of my value play, which is Baker Mayfield, Cleveland at Cincinnati this week. So Mike White just put 405 yards on Cincinnati. I have to admit, I had to look up who Mike White was before that game. I did not know much about Mike White. And he went off against Cincinnati. Cincinnati's defense is bunko. I'm sorry. They're not real.
That is true. So for what it's worth, Baker is not the first name I wrote down. I went a little bit more money, believe it or not, initially. I want to love Taysom Hill this week. But can I trust that it'll be Taysom Hill?
We can't.
Exactly. And because of that, I scaled back and I landed on Baker too. So we're 3 for 3.
Wow. I kind of considered Tua Tagovailoa this week. But again, until tomorrow, we don't know if it's going to be him starting for Miami either.
Right. Or Deshaun, which is always a possibility.
Or Deshaun. Yeah. Deshaun didn't even make my price list this week. He must be below 5,000 right now.
I have a feeling it's going to be a bunch of nothing. I don't think there's going to be a deal. But it'll be interesting if it happens, that's for sure. Because then, does he go to the commissioner's exempt list right away? Who knows?
Yeah, well, the commissioner has said he's not going to. But, again, I think that we can take that and a $2 bill and maybe buy ourselves a cheeseburger at McDonald's these days.
So, for what it's worth, I didn't think that we'd go 3 for 3. I thought that
I did not think we had a chance at 3 for 3 at quarterback.
I thought that if there was anybody we were going to match on, it was Hurts, honestly. I think now we have a chance to go 5 for 5.
Wow.
So who are you paying up for at the running back position?
Okay, well, at the running back position, I'm going to go ahead with the player who I actually told people to leave on their bench this week because I wasn't sure whether or not he was even going to play up until about midway through the afternoon.
When he said he was Austin Eckler.
Austin Eckler gets the Philadelphia Eagles. Over the last 6 weeks, Philadelphia has allowed an average of 173 combo yards per game to opposing running backs to go along with 10 total touchdowns. Eckler played through the injury last week. He topped 100 total yards again. I apologize to all the people that I said sit him. Hopefully, if I told you to sit him, I told you to start someone else that had a good day because I really did not think he would play the full game, if at all. And obviously, he did, and he was very, very good. And I learned my lesson. I'm not going to tell you to sit Eckler anymore.
There you go. So we're 4 for 4. Go ahead.
As I say, 7,900 on DraftKings is not a bad price for Eckler this week.
No, not at all. I gave some consideration to Alvin Kamara. I thought that you might think that that's the way I would lean. I love the matchup. I don't love the unknown if it is Taysom Hill all day long, even 50-50. You know what I mean?
Well, we saw some interesting trends last year in regard to both Michael Thomas when he was active and Alvin Kamara with Taysom Hill at quarterback. And again, Kamara not being used properly a lot last year with Taysom Hill at quarterback, both in the passing game as well as obviously at the red zone, at the stripe, or Taysom Hill likes to steal the touchdowns for himself?
Taysom Hill, a poor man's Josh Allen that can't throw as well?
Well, I was going to say it took Josh Allen 3 or 4 years to figure out how to throw in the league, so maybe Taysom Hill's just a year or two away.
Possibly. All right, who is going to be your stay away? This is where it's going to get interesting. I really think we should have a match. Maybe we don't. Maybe I went too far down the list, but go ahead.
Well, I also went kind of far down the list on this one, too, because, again, I thought about saying, well, stay away from Christian McCaffrey in his first game back, but that should just be obvious. New England's very tough to run against. The price is way too high. I thought about Delvin Cook going into Baltimore, but you can run the ball a little bit against Baltimore. It's actually their passing game that's been much better in terms of a defensive standpoint. I kind of slid down the list a little further. Saquon, if he comes back, it's a good matchup. I went with James Robinson, who is currently day-to-day with his, I think they said heel injury, but basically they said that if he had to, he could have returned to the game last week, but it was just so out of, like, just completely horrible split score at that point that there was just no reason to put him back in there. His price is $6,400 on DraftKings, $7,500 on FanDuel. And they're facing Buffalo. Buffalo's allowed a total of 4 running back scores all season long. 3 of those 4 touchdowns went to Derrick Henry. You take Henry's line off of their books, and Buffalo is allowing an average of 87 total yards per game to opposing running back groups. Just that one other TD complete on the season. And Robinson, again, with the heel injury, he's going to play. I don't see any reason for them to not play him this week. If he could have played last week, it's just not a good matchup.
See, you kept going down the list, and I'm like, oh, we are going to actually match here. And then you stop at a guy that's got an injury, and I'm like, come on. You just passed all the guys with the injuries. Keep going down the
list. We know he's playing this week. It's all same with McCaffrey, I guess. We heard McCaffrey's going to play. So.
So keep going down the list. And like I said, I feel a little dirty saying that this is a stay away because the price isn't exactly very rich. But I absolutely want nothing to do with Damian Harris this week going on the road and facing Carolina.
Okay.
I mean, when you look at Carolina, and let me get some numbers here so I can support my stance since I can't understand my handwriting. You will find that there are 31 – come on, computer. Tonight is playing tricks and treats with me. There are 31 teams that give up more points, fantasy points, to running backs than the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, I could see that. I think they gave up a few passing receptions to Cordarrell this past week and the Falcons, but in general, they've been pretty, pretty good. I think they rank 7th in terms of yards to the running back, opposing rushing attacks.
And they're at home, and you never know with a Bill Belichick running back. He's been great season to date so far. In DFS, I'm steering clear this week.
Yeah, he's one of those weird situations where his price, like you said, isn't super high. But looking at their history this year, the only running back to do much of anything against that offense, there's actually two, I think, there are two running backs to do much of anything against this offense, Ezekiel Elliott and Delvin Cook. Both of those guys are a full 1.5 tiers above Damian Harris in my mind. So again, you're not getting the normal bargain that you're getting in Damian Harris because he's over 6,000. When Damian Harris was in that 5,500, 5,800 range on DraftKings, he made a good volume play because he knew he was going to get the main amount of carries. But again, I agree with you there. I don't think he's worth 6,000 this week. So he is a stay away, even though his price isn't astronomical.
Yep. So who's your value play at running back?
My value play at running back this week is a guy that I should have named as my value play as a running back last week. I chose this teammate who did basically jack squat. The guy I'm choosing my value play this week is Boston Scott.
We talked 5,200
on DraftKings.
We talked about this, didn't we?
6,300 on FanDuel. I chose Gainwell last week. I really thought that he was going to be featured there. And Nick Sirianni basically clowned the entire fantasy world. played Jordan Howard. Speak about retread running backs coming back into the league. I didn't realize Jordan Howard was still out there. Obviously, he was on their practice squad. They activated him. Over the last 4 weeks, no team has allowed more running back scores than the Chargers. This is really amazing because that four-week span includes the Chargers' bye week. Scott got the majority of the early work before ultimately splitting touches with Jordan Howard and eventually Gainwell last week. But it looks like Scott's going to be the primary ball carrier there while Sanders is out. And again, based on the doghouse Sanders was at the start of the year, that doghouse may last throughout the rest of the season.
So we get a half star for this one.
You chose Jordan Howard.
I chose Jordan Howard. I saved $600. I mean, Jordan Howard could have five carries for two touchdowns again.
I was going to say, I think we might see some James Conner-looking lines from Jordan Howard this
yes.
week.
And it is a complete, if by putting him in as my value play, it is absolutely touchdown dependent. However, it is a matchup that I think will warrant a few 1 to 2 yard handoffs inside the 5 yard line at the goal line that Mr. Howard's pretty adept at converting.
Again, last 4 weeks, most running back touchdowns allowed despite playing only three games.
There you go. So we're getting a half star on that. If we push, that's going to be the one that puts us over.
Vegas might not like that. I don't know.
Good thing we're setting the lines and not Vegas.
Exactly.
All right, let's see if we can knock one out here with a wide receiver that we're going to pay up for. I had trouble with this.
You know, I did too, and it was mainly because I actually liked a lot of the wide receiver matchups this week.
Yeah.
I decided to go with a little bit less, the lesser obvious choice, I think. I mean, I'm going to go with Tyreek Hill. He obviously scored a touchdown earlier today. Again, we're watching this and recording this during the Monday Night Football game, Chiefs versus Giants. But they're going to be back at home facing Green Bay. Green Bay's without their top two cornerbacks right now. And I think Hill is kind of due for like just a big blow-up game.
He is, and I don't disagree with that. So, yeah, you know what? Davante Adams, even love his matchup better, but we already know we don't know what's up with him from a COVID standpoint. I like Tyreek, not quite as much, but I do like him. Then I look at Deebo Samuel. That's probably one of the few in the top 5 to 10 that I was just a little bit iffy on. Stephon Diggs, keep waiting for him to have that blow-up game also, right? If this was in Buffalo, I'd probably like it even more than being on the road in Jacksonville. So I did tell you I almost paid up for Pat Mahomes. So it makes sense that I would have wanted to possibly stack him with Tyreek Hill, but I didn't go that way. And then I went Josh Allen, but I'm not stacking him and Stephon Diggs together. Instead, I went with the other guy that would have been a stack for me. I told you I like Joe Burrow. I like Ja'Marr Chase. I can pay up for Ja'Marr Chase, but I'm still saving a couple hundred bucks here or there to get some of these more middle-line wide receivers into the lineup.
Okay, well, I just found some numbers here, too, on my recommendation here. So, again, I like to always back up my predictions with statistics because I think that's important to do. Over the past 5 games, the Green Bay Packers have faced 4 alpha wide receiver ones. Those wide receiver ones, Diontae Johnson, 9 catches, 92 yards, and a touchdown. Ja'Marr Chase, your recommendation for today, 6 catches, 159 yards, and a touchdown. Terry McLaurin, 7 catches, 122 yards, and a touchdown. They also had Allen Robinson mixed in there. He didn't do very much, but again, I think he's kind of lost that alpha wide receiver one edge that he used to have.
Yeah.
And then last week, obviously, DeAndre Hopkins started the game with 2 catches for 66 yards, including a long one early before leaving and bouncing back in and out of the lineup with the injury. So his numbers were kind of stunted because of the injury. But, yeah, all these big-time wide receiver ones absolutely lighting up the Green Bay secondary. Tyreek's next for that role.
Yeah, so you look at the Browns, and they've got some injuries that they're dealing with in their secondary. You know, week one, Tyreek blew them up for 37-plus points. You had week two, Brandon Cooks went off for over 20 points. Week three, the Bears, they didn't do much of anything, of course, because they're the Bears. Week four, you had Justin Jefferson go for 20-plus. And then week five is when you saw Mike Williams go off for over 35 points. Then you had the following week where DeAndre Hopkins was at 20 points, and you had Christian Kirk almost hit 20 points, and A.J. Green at almost 20 points. And then last week, Cortland Sutton at 11.8 points. I think that's your floor, right? Of course, you don't want a floor like that, but that's your floor. I think that a big game is in the making for Chase this week, and I do think that there's going to be quite a bit of garbage time for him. So,
yeah, and again, I think that Chase proved a couple of weeks ago when he absolutely clowned Marlon Humphrey that he is
legit,
pretty much matchup proof at this point.
Yes. Don't disagree with that. And I think that if he were on any other team, his name wasn't, you know, Chase as a rookie, his price tag would be probably 10, 15, 20% higher.
Oh, totally.
So, all right, who are we staying away from this week?
My stay away this week, it's with a heavy heart that I must stay away from Justin Jefferson, 7,500 on DraftKings, 7,600 on FanDuel. Minnesota travels on the road to Baltimore. All season long, I've repeated over and over again how Baltimore takes out opposing wide receiver ones. Ja'Marr Chase is the only wide receiver one to do anything against them this year. The next closest was Michael Pittman, who I think finished with like 14 or 15 points against them. At that point, I'm not even sure Michael Pittman was officially the wide receiver one at Indianapolis that week, though. Again, Chase obviously went ham against them, but no other wide receiver one has done anything against them. Vikings are in a complete tailspin on both offense and defense right now. Facing Baltimore on the road isn't going to help this.
So the first name I wrote down as my stay away was JJ, Justin Jefferson. But then I have to keep looking at the list, and I'm like, oh, Mike Williams. Sorry, Mike, you're going to be on my list to stay away. And I was like, oh, he's only 7,100, 7,300. Oh, wait, CeeDee Lamb's got not a very good matchup. Well, he's at home, so I can't put him down. So I cross him off. And I wind up crossing Mike Williams off, and I go back to JJ. So I was like, you know what? I've got to go away from the guy that's got the higher value and salary to keep people honest. So, yeah, I'm staying away from Justin Jefferson also.
Well, there's our push, right?
That is our push.
Okay. Well, so the value play this week for me at wide receiver is someone that we've talked about a little bit already today. I'm going to take Alan Lazard at 4,600 on DraftKings, 5,700 on FanDuel. I'm going to use this as my run it back play alongside Tyreek Hill to get some exposure to the Packers offense in this game. As I mentioned earlier, he is already back from the COVID list, and Davante Adams isn't. So there is a 1 in 10 chance maybe that he's the wide receiver one this week for Green Bay. And even if he isn't the wide receiver one, if Adams does come back, Lazard will still be the second best option for Rodgers to throw to, particularly now that Robert Tonyan is done for the year. So again, you like to have opposition exposure in games with your stack. If you're stacking Mahomes and Hill, putting a guy like Lazard is much easier to fit into your lineup from a build construct rather than trying to fit in Hill and Adams.
So, yeah, not my value play. Not going to say I dislike it at all. Same thought process I'd have is that you had. My biggest concern would be if he's your only legitimate wide receiver, then let's just shut him down. Instead,
I'm not sure Casey can shut down anyone right now.
This is true. Sad, but true. Instead, I'm going with a guy that there were some pretty good expectations coming into the season. He was injured. He's a rookie, but he's coming off of a bye week. And I think that helps. And he's playing at home. And I think that helps. And he's playing the Vikings. And I think that might help. And I also think that his ownership will be a little bit lower because Marquise Brown had a pretty good week last week, right?
Yeah, he did. He had such a good week that his price on FanDuel shot up way too high.
Yeah. So I'm going with Rashad Bateman. Just to be honest, it's a riskier play. The value's there from a price standpoint. I just think that we see, coming off a bye, some manufactured plays to get him involved, and we see him make some plays this weekend.
Well, here's the thing. I would absolutely have loved if this game was in Minnesota and Bateman got a chance to play in front of his collegiate home stadium fans, I should say, here in Minnesota for this game. Obviously, they're playing in Baltimore, so that won't get to happen. But we've talked about Bateman on and off for the last few weeks here because I really, really like him going forward. I think he's a much more reliable receiver than Hollywood Brown. And going forward, there is going to be a point, either some point this season or early next season, where he will be the wide receiver one in Baltimore. I'm sorry. It's not going to be Hollywood. It's going to be Bateman eventually.
Correct. I agree. So, so anyway, my dog is snoring in the background, and it kind of threw me for a minute because it sounded like my wife started a chainsaw. anyway, okay, so we didn't match there, but two good thought processes. We need to take the over into the tight end realm. So go ahead and tell me who you're paying up for at the tight end position.
I actually went down the list a little bit this time because, as we talked about in the past, sometimes if you've got lots of players that you like at their current price, I like to pay up for the one that's the least of those players.
Yep.
So I decided to settle on Mike Gesicki. The guy actually stayed away from this past week. Now, no team has allowed more than six tight end scores all season this year. Houston, on the other hand, well, they've allowed five tight end scores in just the last 4 weeks. Gesicki, as we thought, would have expected. He had a bad week last week. We kind of predicted that. I think we both had him as a stay away. I know I did. But I think he's going to get on track just fine this week against Houston.
So we don't have a match. And I did something I don't normally do, and I went down the list also for my pay up. I went with Dallas Goedert, who, look, Jalen Hurts only completed 9 passes, Gardner Minshew 2. So that's 11 completed passes. Goedert caught 6 of those passes. They combined for 114 yards. Goedert caught 72 of those yards. If there's a safe receiving threat, and I'm using air quotes now, on the Philadelphia offense at this point, it is Goedert against a team that can be got from the tight end position.
Well, and you don't have to sweat that pick too much because his price is down. I mean, yes, he is the number 9 priced tight end on DraftKings, but he's actually the 6th highest priced tight end on FanDuel.
Yeah.
And Gesicki, for me, is only $300 more expensive than him. So they're not too far apart in these standings here. So I have no problem with picking that as my pay up there too. Well, again, I could have taken the easy route and taken Darren Waller, who we don't know his status yet. I decided not to go there. I thought about taking Kyle Pitts because with no one else there to cover, I think Marshawn Lattimore is going to probably cover Pitts all game. But I decided not to go that route either. I actually went with Mark Andrews in the same Baltimore game that you like Bateman in against Minnesota. Minnesota's not allowed a tight end to score all season. They're allowing an average of only 3.5 receptions and 47 yards to the position as a whole. And I believe that Rashad Bateman is going to ultimately start stripping targets, not just from Hollywood Brown, but also from Andrews.
Yeah. So I don't dislike it at all, but you did touch on the guy I'm staying away from. And he's had a pretty good season so far to date, even though he got out the gates a little bit slow. But for a rookie, it's understandable. I'm staying away from Kyle Pitts this week. Just not in love with the price, not in love with the matchup, not in love with the fact that they're on the road. No reason why they can't put Marshawn Lattimore on Kyle Pitts and treat him like a big wide receiver. So, yeah, I think he's a risky play.
Yeah, I think the best thing for him would be if Marshawn decides to stay on the outside and guard be either Russell Gage or Almedy Zacchaeus or Blake or whoever else they have in the lineup of wide receiver, Cordarrell Patterson. But yeah, I have a strange feeling Pitts is probably going to see a lot of solid shadow coverage in that game with Calvin Ridley MIA currently.
Gotcha. So this, no pressure at all, but this is for the true over. After starting out 4 in a row, who is your value play at the tight end position?
Oh, this was such a hard call for me this weekend. And again, for people that didn't see my apology on Twitter this past week, I apologized for misconstruing my notes on last week for recommending Durham Smythe instead of Tommy Sweeney as the Buffalo tight end in the Buffalo versus Miami game. I had them both next to each other on my sheet. The copied and pasted over to my other sheet with my notes, and for some reason, another Smythe's name got copied instead of Sweeney's name. But obviously, like I said, I mentioned that on Twitter, so hopefully people forgive me that mistake. This week, my value play, I'm going to go with a veteran. I'm going to go with Mr. Jared Cook of the Los Angeles Chargers of Anaheim. They're in Philadelphia. Philly is tied for the most tight end scores allowed. They have allowed the most receptions to the position on the season. And Cook, he did very little in week 8, so he's going to kind of be out of sight, out of mind as far as ownership, I think, goes. But he did have 2 touchdowns in his previous 3 games before their bye. So at 3,300, if he catches a touchdown, he's already got 3 times value. So I really, really like him this week on DraftKings. The 5,200 on FanDuel it's pretty much bottom of the barrel pricing there. You're never going to get that ridiculously low pricing for tight end on FanDuel. But again, 5,200 is serviceable.
So I cheated. I wrote down a name and I crossed it out. And then I wrote down another name and I crossed it out. And then I just circled both of them and said, I'm paying up for both. I'm going to use both these guys. This is my value play. So that means I got a two for a shot here of matching you. When you said I'm going with a veteran, I really thought you were going to match my first name, which really would be a long shot.
Mercedes Lewis.
Ding, ding, ding.
I thought about Mercedes.
Because I want some exposure to that game, and I felt that at $2,900, that's the cheapest way to get it. Mercedes could easily, with Robert Tonyan being out now due to his ACL injury. It was an ACL, I believe, right? He could easily have a 5-catch, 30-yard, 2-touchdown type game.
Well, even since his big breakout seasons several years ago with the Jacksonville Jaguars, he had a couple of seasons where he was a 6-7-8-touchdown guy. Again, never a huge amount of yardage, never a huge amount of receptions, but he was kind of that goal line tight end option that would score a fair amount of touchdowns each year. But even since then, he's always been kind of that presence around the goal line where it's like if you'd see him line up out there, he was almost always open because of the fact that everyone would put 3 guys on Davante Adams mostly.
And he's a heck of a blocker, so you don't think that he's in there necessarily as a receiver, right? So he could
But he is a capable receiver.
And the catch that didn't count this weekend, that was a fantastic touchdown catch.
That was absurd. It really was.
I mean, it truly, what was he, half a foot? From a half and a not half of an actual foot, half of an actual human foot from it being a touchdown. I mean, it was a phenomenal catch. So, yeah, I mean, he's got some, his floor is probably lower than Cook's, but guess what? The second name I wrote on my list was Jared Cook. Jared Cook's your more traditional, hey, he could probably have 5 to 6 catches, 40, 50, 60 yards, and maybe a touchdown. Mercedes probably going to be a little more touchdown dependent, but I actually think you see him. So that's where I cheated. I took them both. So if we take a half a star for that and a half a star for the Philly running backs, we hit the over. I have ruled. That is the way it is. Call it.
Hey, played 2 tight end this week. I love the double tight end.
No, I'm not playing 2 tight ends. All right. So there you have it.
I actually put together a lineup on Fanball this week with 3 tight ends this past week.
Oh,
it did. It didn't work out for me, but I went with Hunter Henry. I went with Tyler Higbee and I went with Kyle Pitts. Their combined Fanball price for the 3 of them was like $14,000.
Yeah.
It allowed me to put together a great lineup around them. But yeah, no, it would have worked out better if Higbee and or Henry and or Pitts would have done anything. But none of the 3 of them did.
Right. So as in the case of Harley, you know, apologizing for a mistake, we all make them. But that's when you can hit us up on Twitter to say, hey, did you really mean to say that? So you can follow Harley at Nuclear Harley. You can also chastise him or myself at my Twitter of Steve Gallo NFL. Of course, you can double check stuff at thehuddle.com. If you're not a member there already, get on it. And you know what? It's getting colder outside. And you know what? Have an adult beverage or two to keep yourself warm, even though it doesn't technically warm your body. But when you do it, get blitzed responsibly. Cheers.